you are listening to the Midcurrent Church Podcast. Today's message is week two of our sermon series, Back to the Basics, the Fundamentals of Faith. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
If you are not aware of it, today is Super Bowl Sunday, and I don't expect everyone here to necessarily care or to be a football fan, nor will today be all about football or all about the Super Bowl for that matter, but it is a pretty big deal in the world of sports, and so the whole sports world is talking all about it all week long. And so just this past week, I saw a video posted online of what some consider to be the greatest play ever in the Super Bowl. It's a trick play that's referred to as the Philly Special. This was just a few years ago. It was the New England Patriots versus the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Eagles were down on the goal line, very close to scoring. And it was fourth down, fourth and goal, actually. And so the Eagles had a choice to make. On fourth down, do they kick a field goal and get 3 points at least, or do they go for it on fourth down? Okay, in this the best case scenario, if they go for it, best case scenario is they score a touchdown. They actually get 6 points. Worst case scenario is they get stopped and they turn the ball over and they get no points at all. So they had a big decision to make, and they decided to go for it. On fourth down, not only did they go for it, but they called a risky and a gutsy trick play that is now referred to as the Philly Special. And so here's how it all played out. Eagles quarterback Nick Foles, he lined up right behind the center and he got into ready position to have the ball snapped to him. And then he stood up and he walked down to the right side of his line of scrimmage, and he appeared to be either changing the play or giving some special instructions to, his lineman, which is not all that uncommon in a big game and in a loud stadium to have the quarterback kind of go give some extra special instructions to his lineman. And so he goes down the line and looks like he's calling things out. And then right at that moment, the ball snapped behind him to their running back, number 30 there in the picture. The running back got the ball, turned to his left, and soon pitched the ball to their tight end, who grabbed the ball, started running to the right, and then threw a pass to quarterback Nick Foles, who in the midst of all the confusion had quietly slipped off the line of scrimmage into the end zone for an easy touchdown pass. Okay, this is crazy, because if you think about this, this is the guy who's paid a lot of money to throw a ball is actually catching the pass from a guy who's paid a lot of money to catch the ball. It was so opposite of what you would expect, and that's why it was such a gutsy call in such a big game to have these roles reversed. But they scored a touchdown, the crowd went wild, and the Eagles went on to win the game, become Super Bowl champions, and people are still talking about this play today. Greatest play ever, some people say, and they're discussing the kind of gutsy play calling and the type of advanced creativity and execution that's required to win the big game. And sometimes, Midcurrent, I think that too many of us who are Jesus followers, sometimes I think that too many of us kind of start to think that we too need really advanced thinking, a new in-depth play calling to win at life or to even grow in our faith. I hear this all the time, right? And there's a place for this kind of deeper thinking, but too often I think that we become convinced that if we're gonna make progress in life and faith, it's gonna be the result of really kind of new in-depth theology or Bible interpretation. And I actually would argue that in many cases, the exact opposite is true. See, I believe that oftentimes it is simply our commitment to the most simple practices in our everyday life that actually leads us to a life and to maybe even a faith that we would desire, right? In response to people and in church who are, you know, this is church everywhere, Big C Church. In response to people who are often wish that church was a little deeper, I have often said that sometimes the deepest thing you can do, if you're saying, man, I wish church was deeper, sometimes the deepest thing you can do is just to take a simple truth on Sunday and actually just put it into play in your life on Monday. Sometimes that's the deepest thing that you can do. And that's ultimately what our current series for the next month, Back to the Basics, is really all about. Okay? We designed this whole series for the next month. We designed it off of the famous speech that Green Bay Packers coach Vince Lombardi gave to his team in 1961 on the very first day of training camp, the year after they lost the NFL championship game in a heartbreaker. And so at the team's very first practice of the next year, Lombardi gathered everybody together, got all the players to turn to page number one of the playbook. And he addressed the team saying for the very first time at practice that year, he addressed the team by saying, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And it was so shocking because, all the players, they were just a few plays away from being champions. They expected to pick up that new year right where they left off. They assumed that they would just immediately begin implementing, new formations and advanced, new plays into the playbook to help them get back on top and to finally win it all. But in their coach's estimation, they didn't win it all. And if they didn't win at all, then they didn't need advanced plays. They needed to begin with a recommitment to the fundamentals. And I think the same is true for us. I'm not sure Christianity is winning today, for lack of a better word. I'm not sure it's always winning today. I'm not sure that our faith is always thriving in a way that we might hope it would, nor do I believe that our faith is always as attractive to an unbelieving world as it could be. And so here's the deal. If Christianity is not winning, and we looked at some statistics last week that maybe suggested it's not winning all that well. If it's not winning, then I would say, man, it's not advanced theology that we really need. It's not, more rigorous, discussions on biblical interpretation that we really need. There's a time and a place for that. But I'm going, man, if we're not winning, then it's not necessarily that stuff that we need. But maybe what we need is a recommitment to the fundamentals of our faith in everyday life. And so over the course of the series, it's going to be our goal, it has been our goal, to share with you some of the most basic elements of faith. So basic that you might be tempted to dismiss them or to kind of overlook their significance. But I think to overlook the significance of these practices in our life, I think it would be a mistake. And so last week, just as a quick reminder, we talked about like one of the most basic, maybe the most basic features of faith, which is the love that we have for one another. Right, the reality is we can be the smartest, we can be the most spiritual, Bible-memorizing Christians in the world, but if we don't have a genuine love for others, then all of the spiritual boxes we check, all the spiritual hoops that we jump through, it's all for nothing, right? It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for the world around us to accept that Jesus loves them if the world around us doesn't ever sense love from the people who say they love Jesus, right? If we don't love them, it's gonna be hard for them to think that Jesus does too. And so if we want Christianity to start winning, I wanted us to understand that it's our love for others that is gonna be the demonstration of our association with Jesus. Today, I wanna talk about, yet again, something so simple and yet so powerful. I want to talk today about a life of prayer. The authors of the books of the Bible, all the books that make up the Bible, they write repeatedly about the importance of prayer. They say that we should be praying for one another. They write that we should be praying about everything, bringing everything before the Lord, that we should pray without ceasing, right? Without stopping, without giving up on this concept of prayer. They write that we should be in constant prayer. One writer says that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective, right? Prayer is a huge part of our spiritual life. And I don't know what your engagement level is when it comes to prayer. Maybe you're going like, hey, you know, thanks, you know, thanks, Stan. You know, you're maybe going like, yep, I got it. You know, I pray, mealtime, bedtime, times of need, times of crisis, you know, got that down. Maybe you're going, yep, I'm a prayer, and that's all well and good. But today, here's all I'd say. I would say today that there is a certain type of prayer that I want to encourage us to start praying more so that we might start to experience more of the power of prayer in our lives. And so if you would like to know what is possibly missing from your prayer life, or maybe you're here today going, hey, I just would be curious to know where to start. How do I even start doing this praying thing in a way that you know, works in any way? Then I'm really glad that you're here today, because we're gonna look at one of the most stunning prayers ever recorded in the Bible. It's a simple prayer, but a stunning prayer. One of the most stunning prayers recorded in the Bible. And as we do, I think we're gonna learn a very valuable and a very applicable message as we discover this prayer. So we're going to turn our attention to the Old Testament book of Joshua. This story might be familiar to you if you've read it on your own. It might be familiar to you if you've been around Mid-Current for a little bit, as we looked at a piece of this story a couple of years ago as a part of a series we were working through on, you know, the arrival of God's people into the Promised Land. But today, regardless of how familiar this story might be, today I just want to invite you to listen to the story from a whole new angle. In this most stunning prayer, it's found in Joshua chapter 10. Before we get there, I just want to give you some quick context, kind of set this whole thing up. God's people, they have just arrived into their new homeland, the land that God had been promising them. The problem was the land wasn't like empty. It wasn't uninhabited. And so they had to conquer and claim this land for themselves. They had to claim this land in order to establish kind of the homeland that God had intended for them. And what that means, this is just kind of a quick side note here. What that means is that the book of Joshua tells stories of like a lot of battles and a lot of wars. And I recognize that if you stop and think about that, that can be a little troubling. Like, what? Why is all, you know, why all the violence? I totally get that. And there's a lot that could be said about why this stuff played out the way it did. But because of what I do want to talk about today, I'm not going to go into detail on all of that. All I'm going to say for right now is that it was a different time and God had a very different set of divine intentions and purposes at play. But ultimately then, what I do want to focus on today is what we learned from some of the moments that happened on the sidelines and what happened in some of the moments in between some of those battles, because it's there that we see this most incredible prayer that is prayed. And so as we pick up in chapter 10, here's what's going on. God's people have already, they've already notched a few victories. They've already got a couple W's under their belt. And the world around them is starting, you know, to notice. Like, word is starting to spread. And so some of the kings in the neighboring cities, they've heard about Joshua and God's people. They heard about the victories. And they're starting to get a little nervous. And they've also heard that Israel, this is God's people, they've heard that they made a peace treaty with the people in the city of Gibeon. And Gibeon was a relatively important city for number one. And number two, it was written that their men were good fighters. They're good soldiers. And so the kings of all these other regions, they're going like, that's not good for us, right? If you know, if God's people, they're already on a roll, they partner up with Gibeon, you know, then we're in trouble. And so five kings from the neighboring regions, they decide to come together and attack Gibeon to try to prevent them from becoming too strong an ally with Israel. And then the people in Gibeon, they sent a message to their allies in Israel, like begging for help. They're like, okay, you remember how we're friends now? Like, okay, we need to call in a favor, right? So they ask God's people for help. And so Joshua and the entire army, they agree. They say, yeah, we're there for you. And so Joshua goes, including some of his best warriors, they go and they set out to help Gibeon. And here's where we're going to drop into the story. We're going to pick up in verse 12, which actually starts with a little bit of a spoiler alert that Israel wins the battle. But I want us to see exactly how it all played out. So here's what it says. It says, on the day that the Lord gave the Israelites, this is Joshua and his men, on the day that the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. Okay, now before we see what he did pray, I just want to share with you, I just want to point out what he didn't pray. Okay, he didn't pray, God, watch over us today. He didn't pray, God, keep us safe. He didn't pray, you know, God, if it's your will, give us victory today. He didn't pray, God, give my men, you know, strength and wisdom and discernment out on the battlefield. No, that's not what he prayed for. Here was his prayer. He said, let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Aijalon. Okay, he prayed, God, would you, this is crazy. He prayed, God, would you freeze time? Would you freeze this moment in time right now so that me and my men have enough time and have enough daylight to do what it is that we have set out to do? His prayer to God is for a miracle of like astronomical proportions. The question is, did it work? Here's verse 13. So the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. Now listen to how this story concludes in verse 14. There has never been a day like this one before or since. Never been a day like this one when the Lord, get this, listened to a human being. It says, surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Okay, now I don't want you to get hung up on the astronomical phenomenon that just took place. The emphasis on this story is on the extraordinary answer that God gave to Joshua's prayer. God was listening. Some translations say never had there been such a day when God obeyed or when God heeded the voice of a man. And it wasn't just that he answered a prayer of Joshua's. It wasn't just that he granted some small request that Joshua had asked for. God answered the most bold and crazy. God answered the most, you know, like impossible sounding, unthinkable and unreasonable in many ways prayer. That Joshua, you know, prayed that the time would stand still. It wasn't just any prayer that he answered. He answered a crazy one like this, that time would literally stand still, and it did. And the Lord, it says, was fighting for Israel, and Israel was victorious. And as a result, here's what I want to suggest to you today about the life that you're living and about the faith that you want to see growing. Here's what I want to suggest to you today. Sometimes the biggest victories are the ones that are built on the boldest prayers. When it comes to our life and our faith, I want us to understand that the biggest victories that we experience are the ones that are built upon the boldest prayers that we pray. Right? Here's what I think someone needs to hear today. We don't stumble our way into the life that we want. We pray our way into the life that we want with bold prayers for the desires of our heart. We don't stumble our way into a good marriage. We pray our way into it boldly. We don't stumble our way into raising kids that love God and love others. We pray our way into it. We pray them into it, right? We don't stumble our way into a fruitful and a healthy family. We pray our way into it. We don't stumble into leading a productive or fulfilling life. We pray our way into it. We don't stumble into, a life that makes a difference in the world around us. We pray our way into it, and we don't stumble into a life of faith and a relationship with Jesus where one day we just go like, well, wouldn't you, I can't believe it, but I actually seem to have an unshakable faith in Jesus and a relationship with him. We don't just stumble into it. We pray our way into that kind of faith and that kind of life with regular, honest, and bold prayers, because the biggest victories that we want to experience in life and faith, they are built upon the boldest prayers. Now, I want to be careful to point out that bold prayers, as important it is that we pray them, because I really do believe that we pray our way into the things that we want. I want to be clear, though, that bold prayers don't guarantee that, you know, we just get every single thing that we want. Okay, God is not just a genie in a bottle, you know, granting us our you know, biggest wishes if we pray our boldest prayers. Okay, bold prayers do lead us, I think, to a stronger relationship with the one that we are praying to. And ultimately, that's the goal of all this, right? When I think about a growing relationship with God, I often think about it in comparison to, you know, significant relationships in my life. I think about it maybe in comparison to the relationship I have with my wife, Erica, right? Our relationship, me and Erica, it won't thrive if we only talk to each other when we need something from one another, or if there's some kind of problem that we've got to fix, right? If that's the case, there's going to be no relationship in place. There's no common ground. There's no common goal. There's no common understanding in place to support whatever issue it is that we need to navigate. And so regular communication, daily communication and connection with Erica is vital. I got to talk to her. I got to listen to what she has to say regularly and consistently. And my regular communication and connection with her, it doesn't guarantee that things just go my way because I, you know, spent some time listening, but it does guarantee that I get to know her and her personality and her desires and her heart more, so that I know how to stay in better relationship with her for the future and so that we can win together. And in a lot of ways, I think the same is true with God. I want us to be praying bold prayers, but bold prayers and you know, and consistent communication with God, it's not just a strategy to make sure that we get more of what we want, but rather it's a strategy to get our heart more aligned with God's heart, to learn more about what God desires and what God cares about in the world, to allow our hearts to become slowly shaped more by the heart of God. And that is where the confidence and the boldness of our prayers come from. 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15 informs us that this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us and whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. That's where the confidence comes from the time spent in relationship, getting to know the heart of God. And so we come into God's presence regularly and we pray boldly so we can begin stepping into more of the life that God has called us to. And so the question that we got to ask ourselves then is, what are we praying for? That's the question you got to ask yourself. What are you praying for? What kind of prayers are you praying? And maybe more importantly, how are you praying for it, whatever it is that you are praying for? My encouragement to you today is to commit yourself to a more regular rhythm of prayer in your life, and then to pray bolder prayers than you have ever prayed before. See, too often our prayers, if we pray at all, and I know we're all over the map here, and that's great, I'm glad we're all here, but too often our prayers, they're prayers for, you know, they're like good nights of sleep and a good day at school or work, or we pray for tummy aches to go away, or we pray for help on the big test or the big meeting at work, or we pray for our neighbors, you know, friends, mom's great aunt who lives down in Ohio, right? And those are all really fine and great things to be praying for. But I started to realize, man, if God is really listening to me, if God is really listening to us, if our prayers are really that effective, if the boldest prayers really do have the ability to lead some of these big victories, I started to realize, man, maybe we turn the heat up a little bit on some of the prayers that we're praying. Right? Maybe instead of praying in the midst of a relationship where there's tension, or instead of praying like, God, would you fix them? Maybe we start to pray instead, God, search me. Search my heart and reveal to me if there is anything offensive in me, in this relationship that I need to be aware of. Right? Maybe instead of praying, God, heal my marriage, and that's a great prayer, that's a great desire to heal or to strengthen a marriage, but maybe rather than saying, God, kind of fix them or heal my marriage, maybe we pray instead, God, help me to serve and to love my spouse in a way that I did not know I was capable of. It's a bold prayer, right? Maybe instead of praying, God, help me to find the one. Right? Maybe instead we start praying in a time of waiting for the one. We start to pray, God, help me not to find the one. Help me to become the one that my future spouse needs me to be. When it comes to our kids, instead of praying, God, help them have a good day at school. Maybe instead we pray for them boldly. God, would you strengthen and would you empower my kids with courage and with confidence to be a light and to be a leader in the world around them wherever they go. When it comes to the world around us, instead of praying, God, would you fix it? God, would you make it better? Maybe instead we say, God, would you help? Would you make me better? Would you help me to make a lasting difference and an eternal difference in the places that I have influence every day? If our prayers are, God, make it better, maybe we just start with us and say, God, help me to be the change that I want to see. God, help me to make a difference in the places I have influence every single day. Gang, we don't stumble. We don't stumble into the life we don't. We don't stumble into the world that we want to be a part of. I think we pray our way into it. And so we've got to understand that our prayers can be very, very powerful. 10 years ago, Erica and I, we moved to Menominee, Wisconsin, where I had just accepted a job as a worship pastor at a church there. And so we bought a house, and we moved into a great little neighborhood on the southeast end of town. And as we were introduced more and more to our neighbors, as they came to us and as they stopped us when we were out on a walk in the neighborhood, we soon realized that just about like our whole neighborhood seemed to attend the church where I had just started working. And at first, Eric and I just assumed it must be a part of, living in a small town. We had just moved from Chicago to Menominee, right? So we're like, I don't know, maybe it's, smaller town, bigger church. We're going like, maybe that's just how things go in small towns. Maybe it's just a coincidence. I don't know. Well, not long after, we would soon discover that, oh no, it was no coincidence. One of the founding members of the church that I had just started working at, he's one of the most faithful men that I know. One of the founding members of that church, he used to live in the neighborhood where we just bought a house. And years ago, he used to walk through the neighborhood every day praying for the families who lived in each house that he walked by. Those prayers led to relationships. Those prayers led to opportunities to tell people in the neighborhood about his faith in Jesus and about the church that he was a part of and about the church that helped to continue developing the faith that he had in Jesus. Bold prayers every day led to big victories in his life, in the lives of other people, and in the kingdom of God in Menominee and beyond. And friends, the same can be true for us. The same can be true for us. Big victories in our life, big victories in our faith really are possible, more possible than we might think. I just don't think that they will always come as a result of advanced theological discussions and in-depth biblical interpretation, but rather at times, I think those big victories are possible And I think that sometimes they are the result of our commitment or maybe our recommitment to the most basic everyday disciplines and fundamentals of our faith, beginning with prayer. So let me close then in prayer for us right now. God, I give you thanks that you love us so much that you wanted us to have direct access to you through Jesus, God, that we could come into your presence, that we could approach you directly, God, through prayer. And so I give you thanks, God, for having an ear that is open to us. God, I give you thanks for having a knee that is bent down to try to hear us more, God. And I just pray that you would help each of us to know where in our life we need to turn the heat up in terms of the prayers that we're praying. Maybe that's going from 0 to 2 or 3, or maybe that's going from 6 or 7 to 8 or 9. God, I don't know wherever it is, would you help us to sense where it is that we need to start praying more regularly and maybe more boldly. God, I don't know what's happening in the lives of everyone here today. I don't know the victories that we wanna win. I don't know the steps that we wanna take. I don't know the battles that we are all fighting. God, but I pray that we would fight any of those battles on our knees. I pray that we would turn to you more regularly in prayer, that we would pray boldly our way into the victories that we want to experience, God. And so help us to be people who take the simple act of prayer and communication with you. God, help us to put it into play into our lives every day so we might actually experience the power of a life of prayer, and that the world around us might experience more of it too. We pray these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Midcurrent Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person, at 9 and 10:30 a.m.